Welcome to the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast, a show dedicated to Dynasty fantasy football trades and player values, with your hosts, John Paul Hurley and Izzy Elkafas.
Welcome to another edition of the Dynasty Trade Calculator Podcast. The show is brought to you by nobody. We don't have any sponsors. Izzy, did you know that? We're all out of sponsors. I'm so lost without you.
That's a downgrade. What happened?
I don't know, but hey, let's get some more. So if you're interested in sponsoring us and you have a website or service you'd like to sponsor on our podcast, look us up, give us a call. It's only $6 million for each episode, but we guarantee you $7 million of revenue. And if we don't get you $7 million, we give you half your money back. That's a pretty good deal, right?
Perfect, yeah.
All right. Did you say perfect?
Yeah. He's not getting his money back.
That's about as bad of a deal as the one I just said.
Yeah, it's a bad deal.
Funny enough, we're not talking about perfect Vontaze, but we are talking about the top scorer in each position through 5 weeks of the NFL regular season and what to do with the players that are sitting up at the top. We're going to call this segment King of the Hill. How about that?
I like that.
I just thought of it. This is King of the Hill.
Wow, that's why we pay you the big bucks without
a
sponsor.
That's right. No sponsors, no monies. No sponsors, no monies. We're also going to have another edition of Dynasty Trade Wars starring Jonathan Moger, our fantastic, fabulous producer. I'm very excited about that. Izzy and I get a chance to play a little game against each other. Moger always tries to trick us. He's a tricksy, fat hobbit. The first edition of King of the Hill, we're going to have to install some King of the Hill music from our favorite animated TV series, King of the Hill. All right, so we're going to talk about the number one scoring player at each position, and Izzy's going to kind of break down exactly what you should be doing with these players, and I might weigh into, maybe Moser might say something. Unfortunately for Moser, Mariota is not sitting amongst the tops. So we're going to get right into it. Izzy, what position would you like to start with first? I've got them all.
Surprise me.
All right, we'll do kicker. Let's see. I didn't write the tops. Who do you think the top scoring kicker is, if anybody cares?
I have no clue.
Here's the funny thing. I'm in one league with kickers, and I still have no clue who the top kicker is because it doesn't matter. And like, I think nobody is separating themselves anymore like they used to. Like the good old days of Vinatieri, right?
Yeah, it's not like just. It has to be a team that struggles in the red zone. Arizona struggles in the red zone. They kick a lot of field goals.
Yeah, maybe. I'm going to later on, like while you're talking, I'm going to look up to see who the top scoring kicker is just for flavor. But I'm going to jump over to, I think running back's the most compelling. So I'm going to hang on to that one. This one's probably the most surprising. We're going to do wide receiver. It looks like Godwin is the number one scoring wide receiver. That's a little bit shocking, isn't it?
I mean, it's not. If you would have asked me before the show, I would have said Godwin or Michael Thomas. Where's Michael Thomas? What are they separated by?
118 points to 108 points.
Okay, wow, so it's pretty comfortable.
And by the way, Amari Cooper is a tenth of a point behind Michael Thomas, so he's right there too.
That's the top three, huh?
And then Cooper Kupp is also at like 107, so it's like there's Chris Godwin, and then about 10 to 12 points behind is a grouping of Michael Thomas, Amari Cooper, and Cooper Kupp. If you have the name Cooper in your name, you're sitting pretty good right now.
And then what's the gap between four and five?
Not much. It's only 5 points, but I will give you the $7 million of sponsorship money if you guess who number five is.
Oh, geez. I'm going to sound like an idiot because I'm not going to get this right.
Well, you always sound like an idiot, so.
That's valid. I have no idea. I'm going to say Keenan, even though it's wrong.
That's a great guess. Keenan came in at number six, but number five is DJ Chark.
Wow, yeah.
Wow. Nice.
He's got, what, six touchdowns in five games or something like that?
Yep. Yeah. Pretty impressive. So go ahead, talk to us about Chris Godwin. And like you said, you're not surprised going into the week, but obviously before the season started was my point. But what should we be doing with Chris Godwin right now?
I mean, I can't necessarily tell anybody to sell high because that would be, it feels like it's bad advice. Because he's on pace for like 1,600 yards and what, 18 touchdowns? Like, oh my God, 99 receptions plus. I mean, you're looking at a 100 reception guy, you know, 1,600 yards and almost 20 touchdowns. So that's absurd. If you did trade, like, here's the thing. You could trade him for just about any wide receiver right now, not named Hopkins, Michael Thomas, and who? Adams? Maybe?
Yeah, that sounds about right. Looking down the list right now.
Like, who would you rather have, Godwin or Juju?
Oh, I mean, that's tough. I mean, you got to say Juju, but man, it's like you, like my moral fibers are ripping, you know?
Okay. What about Tyreek?
Definitely Godwin.
Definitely Godwin. Okay. What about Adams?
Definitely Adams.
Keenan. You're going to say Godwin.
I'm going to say Godwin. Like, yeah.
You don't like Keenan.
Well, I like Keenan, but I'm saying like this is his last peak year, you know, he's going to peak.
OBJ. Hopkins, and then Michael Thomas. So you'd put him at wide receiver 5? And I think that's about right, but here's the thing, would you ship him for top 5 value?
I mean, it's as good a time as any to cash out, but I mean, just like you said, I don't believe that's necessarily excellent advice either, so.
Yeah, and it makes it tough because Mike Evans is there. So how long can they sustain having two wide receivers putting up big numbers on a week-to-week basis? I mean, yeah. If they completely eliminate OJ Howard from the offense, which they've currently done, it's really just a two-man show and maybe some running back production here and there from the receiving position. But can you really run your offense that way? Potentially. But if you're selling the notion, or if you're buying the notion that he's going to really end up with 1,618, then yeah, good on you and hold on to him. But you got to be selling the production right now. Like, he can't put up this type of performance every single week, especially with Mike Evans there. Like, how many games is Mike Evans going to have a 0-0?
Right,
and at some point in time, Mike Evans is going to go, he's not going to be the primary target for these defensive coordinators. And when does that shift to Godwin being the wide receiver 1? And now Mike Evans is dealing with the cornerback 2s. So that's got to be considered as well.
So you asked me who I preferred, but what about you between Tyreek and Godwin?
I would take Tyreek. And it's the off-the-field stuff scares the hell out of me just from a conceptual standpoint of I'm getting Pat Mahomes tied to Tyreek rather than getting Jameis Winston tied to Godwin. And I know it's worked in the short term. I just don't trust Godwin as much as Jameis as much as I trust Mahomes. And yeah. You're going to get maybe more consistent production out of Godwin potentially. But that's right now, Tyreek is the wide receiver 1 and he's being treated as such by defenses. Godwin is not.
Yeah. What about between Godwin and Cooper, Amari Cooper? Because you're down to like Godwin as your wide receiver 6, assuming that you've got like Hopkins and the obvious. Okay.
I would take Cooper. So
you're down around the 7 area then. Last one, Godwin or Keenan?
I would rather have Godwin over Keenan. I'd rather have Godwin over Juju.
Okay.
And I think that's where I think right now him being 7 is fair.
Yeah, and I agree too. And I think starting to get down in that range would be Evans. He dropped a little bit off after this week getting donut hold. And I should admit too, I was wrong. I like Evans more than Godwin going into the season.
You do?
Even after the first, I liked.
Oh, liked. Okay.
Even after the first few weeks, I was still an optimist, but it doesn't really seem like the trend is going to be favorable to that thinking. So,
yeah, I think the jury is not necessarily out on Godwin. He's a solid low end wide receiver 1 at worst, maybe a high end wide receiver 2, depending on. I mean, that's his floor right now with defenses shifting to him.
Yeah, right.
And opening things up for Evans. So I guess it's a TBD with Godwin as the wide receiver 1 that defenses are honing in on. But you got to assume he's still going to put up low-end wide receiver 1s, high-end wide receiver 2 numbers, which, I mean, you got to be comfortable with. So if you're – but right now, I would say majority of dynasty owners, they're pretty fickle. So if Godwin's producing as wide receiver 1, like overall, he's going to be in everybody's top 5. People would rather have him than OBJ. They'd rather have him than Adams because he's hurt. Him than Tyreek. You could probably cash out for top 5 value relatively easily. And if you'd rather shift some of that, like you're turning Godwin, who is it's not necessarily a risk, but he might be a risk as a top 3 wide receiver. if you can shift that equity into something more solid and more, you know, something that's been proven. Now, we got to remember, too, if you look at Hopkins, he's 27. If you look at Devonta Adams, he's 27. If you look at Michael Thomas, he's what, 26, 25, 26? So you're also shifting some of your equity and moving it into an older piece that you're going to probably want to get out from under in a few years. And that piece is going to be depreciating in a couple. Look at Julio, still producing, but he's now turned 30 and you're having a difficult time moving him for anything higher than a top 10 wide receiver.
Yeah, you got a good solid 3 years before you have to start to be concerned about that, though, right?
But is it worth it? Would I rather have a guy that's producing, that's going to give me a low-end wide receiver one numbers that's 23? Or would I rather have a high-end wide receiver one that's 27?
Yeah, I mean, it's a solid question, but it's all team-dependent, obviously, team situation-dependent.
Not necessarily. Why? If you're competing, what's Godwin is still going to help you compete.
He's going to help you compete, but I'm saying, would you rather between the two, the differentiator being, you know, probably, a 5-6 points on average, like in normal weeks, right?
As soon as we start noticing that Godwin is being treated as the wide receiver one and he has his bad game, right, or struggles, if he struggles, you will have the opportunity to still ship Godwin as a top five wide receiver.
Yeah,
so
true.
I would say you have no reason to move Godwin right now if you're an owner. I think his arrow points straight up. Even if he has a bad week and you know, okay, well, I'm going to do it based on advanced analytics, I know for a fact that he was being shadowed by the top cornerback, by X team, and maybe he can't handle being the guy. Similar to what people are saying about Juju, but then Juju has dealt with Big Ben being hurt and now Mason Rudolph, so jury's still out on that. But Juju's stock is plummeting.
Yeah.
So, yeah, hang on to him, see what happens next week and the following week. If Evans is still the wide receiver one to defensive coordinators, then you just keep getting Godwin facing wide or cornerback twos and putting up monster numbers, and kudos to you. He's one guy that I always tell you this, I never buy the hype guys. I try to find the next hype guy. I fade paying the premium for expected return.
Yep.
So I don't have Godwin anywhere.
That's probably
and
good.
You win some, you lose some. But you know, at the same token, I don't have Pettis anywhere either. And guess what? I saved on equity there. So it evens out.
Do you have Greg Zuerlein anywhere?
I do not have the leg. Is he the kicker one?
he is the K1. He is the kicker one. Oh, dang it. I just had a stupid ESPN. Breida's going nuts, man.
He is going nuts. I don't play in any kicker leagues, so thankfully.
So Greg Zuerlein was the kicker one, just to answer anybody's questions that was curious. But moving on to the next position, this was probably a bit of a surprise coming into the regular season because there were such heavy hitters at this position, and then kind of a few middle babies options. It's Austin Hooper leading the way at the tight end position with 84 points on the season.
Makes me happy.
Evan Ingram, Travis Kelce at number three, Mark Andrews. Andrews had a shot at being the number one, but just kind of had a couple of, he's had two or three relative duds in a row that's put him back. I think he was number one after 2 weeks, but now he's currently sitting at number four. But Austin Hooper, I think we both like Austin Hooper. I got him a couple of startups, very promising start to his season. What are you doing with Austin Hooper?
Hold on to him. I love Austin Hooper, but he's been my top tight end buy for the last couple of years. Just because he was so young and so underappreciated, underrated. He was getting production being 22, 23 years old. He was a young tight end coming into the league. He's still young now, and he's in an offense that doesn't run the ball. So it's perfect. He's the perfect tight end to buy for the last couple of years, so I hope you did.
Perfect.
And yeah, perfect. And with Hooper, I'm still not trading him, and here's why. People still are not going to treat Hooper as a top five tight end in terms of value. So you're going to just keep riding the production. He plays Arizona this week, and we know that they're leaky, so he should put up another big game, and you continue to ride the value until he gets to an appropriate valuation, which I feel is right around tight end five. So Ingram was my bold prediction for tight ends. I said he'd finish top three, so he's in my top five. Kelsey is in my top five. Kittle is probably in my top five in terms of value. I mean, those should be the four. You can have Ertz right outside in tight end five, and then Andrews right outside that at tight end six. I think that is the class, the tight end class. Am I missing anybody?
That seems pretty good, actually. I was trying to look out some stats for that, but that's that looks like everybody, yeah. Austin Hooper, Evan Engram, and by the way, this is not tight end premium and not awarding points for first downs or anything silly.
Yep.
But Austin Hooper, Evan Engram, Travis Kelce, Mark Andrews, and Will Disley. That's probably the biggest surprise right there.
Yeah, that is a surprise. I'm fading. You got to fade Disley. Well, you just have to. But that's the thing. Like, if you're a believer in Disley and you're still, I mean, you can go get Disley for far less than top five tight end value. If you think that he is a tight end one moving forward, you can still get him at tight end two prices. So, you know, be my guest. Go ahead and get him. I'm fading that long term. So I would say you got to wait for Hooper to be top five across the board, and I don't think he is. And I think he's going to give you production. So for me, he's a hold.
How far down the line are you putting George Kittle after his start?
For me, it's Kelce, it's Ingram, Kittle, Hooper.
Hooper ahead of Ertz.
Yes. I mean, I think Ertz's arrow is going to be pointing down moving forward. Like, here's the thing. Like, I know Ertz has more value, but I would trade Ertz for Hooper plus, if that makes sense.
What about Mark Andrews?
He's right. He's tight end six. Like, I still don't love Lamar Jackson and that offense in terms of the pass catchers. You got Marquise Brown. You have him passing to the backside of the backfield. You have Hayden Hurst. You have Mark Andrews. They roll out multiple tight ends, and those guys are going to get targets. I know the fact that I get it. They played Miami, and then they played, who was it, week two? Was it Arizona? Or was it Washington?
It was Cardinals and then Chiefs.
It was Arizona. So you're playing the Dolphins and the Cards, who are the leakiest of the two of the teams that are in the NFL right now. And you, of course, he put up big numbers, and then he's slowed down.
Yeah.
So, and it's a volume issue. I just don't see the volume for Mark Andrews long term when your quarterback's going to toss the ball 25 to 30 times on average. There's just not enough ball to go around for you to be a consistent top end tight end. You're going to have too many games where you're putting up 7 or 8 points. So I don't love that.
And Hockenson doesn't sneak in there anywhere.
I love Hawk. Like, he should be everybody's buy right now at the tight end position. Quiet it down. He's going to be a tight end one for a long time. And I think Fant is a screaming buy. Fant is actually playing, and he's just tethered to Flacco, and Flacco isn't having the greatest of success. I mean, he's been okay, but they haven't asked him to just fire the ball around 40 times a game.
Right.
And Fant's volume is hurting because of that. But I think Fant is a really good tight end. I think he's going to have a good career. So Fant and Hockenson, I would be buying the young tight ends right now. The gift of Hockenson slowing down and getting hurt is a really good buy opportunity, and I would be all over that.
Wow,
I would even be all over the idea of selling Hooper to try to get a Hockenson or a Fant if you can get tight end, you know, top five tight end production or a premium for Hooper or Ertz. If you're in the middle, if you're not necessarily competing, I would totally be doing that. Ertz, Hockenson plus for Ertz, Fant plus. For Ertz, I'd be all over that.
Nice, beautiful.
Yo, did you guys see this?
What?
Zay Jones traded to the Oakland Raiders for a fifth round pick.
0 point Zay?
0 point Zay traded. I think it's a good move. I think it's a great move for the Oakland Raiders, and I think it's a great move for the Buffalo Bills. You know, Allen loves Brown. He loves Cole Beasley. There wasn't any room for Zay Jones, and Zay Jones actually had a pretty good season last year, and he was one of the guys that I thought would have a decent year this year. But John Brown and Cole Beasley is taking the job from him and Foster. And I think the Oakland Raiders desperately needed somebody alongside Tyrell Williams. So I think it's a really good move for Zay Jones and the Oakland Raiders. I think you bump up, I honestly think you bump up Derek Carr just a little bit. He becomes a more interesting quarterback, especially if you're looking for a QB2 in Superflex leagues. And I really like Zay Jones as a player moving forward. I mean, he's going to have a slow start because he's got to transition to a new team and learn the scheme. But red zone target, and he proved last year that he can play in the league. So I'm a big fan of the move, and I'm a big fan of Zay Jones.
What do you think the recruitment call sounded like when Tyrell called up Zay on the phone and said, baby, you can drive my car? Right?
That's exactly what it sounded like then,
beep,
right?
Beep, 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 yeah.
I like it. Mo, are we playing that song?
No, he is shaking it. Oh, he's saying yes. Yeah! Baby, you can
drive my car. Yeah, what do you think, Hurley? I mean, I know you...
What do you say? Yeah. I think it's rather insignificant personally, but you seem to be like it's more on your radar than it is mine, so I guess we'll see. We will see. I mean, it was a complete wasteland behind Tyrell Williams since Antonio Brown left, but so they needed somebody, but somebody.
Not a Beatles song, so we're not going to play it.
Yeah, okay, that's enough. That's enough Zay talk. Moving on to the next position, we're going to talk about quarterback. I know pre-podcast, we were talking about our number ones at each position. I mentioned Lamar Jackson, but he was number one only in leagues that award points for carries or first downs or both. So looking at ESPN stats, because I kind of feel like that's probably what we got to go off of here. It's the most universal.
Yep.
Russell Wilson, the number one quarterback through 5 weeks of the regular season with 12 passing touchdowns, which is in itself the best in the league also. And he also has 2 rushing touchdowns. So he and Deshaun Watson each have 14 total touchdowns on the season, but Russell Wilson leading the pack. What do you do with Russell Wilson? Let's try to use like a super flex filter on this conversation.
Yeah, it's always super flex. I mean, forget one quarterback leagues are the worst. Russell Wilson is the most disrespected QB1 out. I mean, no, I take that back. Matt Stafford is. But Russell Wilson is second. He's not sexy, but he produces every single year. He's going to give you some years, he's going to be a low end QB1, which is fine. Other years, like this year, he's going to be a high QB1. And he's not even putting up the volume that is required to be a high QB1. He's just hyper efficient. And for me, if you can move Lamar Jackson and get Russell Wilson plus, which I think in most leagues you can because Lamar Jackson's so young, I would probably look at doing that. With my QB1s, I want just the guy that's going to be a rock solid QB1 week in, week out. I think we saw the bad with Lamar Jackson this week. He's not that when he plays these good teams, he's going to struggle like he did last year. I mean, this last game against Pittsburgh, he did not look good. And Pittsburgh's had their own problem. So with Russell Wilson, he's matchup proof. He's going to put up good performances. He's going to give you low-end QB1 performances just about every single week. Sure, he'll have a dud here and there, but he's much safer, and I like that out of my QBs. And he's still young. I mean, he's still 30.
Yeah.
So I'm buying Russell Wilson if you can get him outside the top 4 or 5, if you can flip like a Baker. I would even move Baker plus a little something for Wilson. I just feel like Russell Wilson is not valued as high as he should be, and you'd be surprised what you can pay to acquire him at the quarterback position. Outside of Mahomes and Deshaun Watson, he's the QB3 for me.
Yeah, I don't think I could argue that. That's difficult. I mean, for a while, Lamar was making a case for it, but he's really fallen down over the last couple of weeks. So I think you can pretty much easily put Russell ahead of him. And then what about like, so here's some interesting ones. Kyler Murray coming in at number 8 in the season so far, which is a really positive for a rookie quarterback through 5 weeks. Where would you put Kyler at this point as far as dynasty rankings are concerned?
This is going to be crazy to some, but I would rather have Kyler Murray than Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I mean, you almost have to choose. You almost have to go that route, right?
I mean, Lamar Jackson gives you a fantastic floor rushing, but we're starting to see that out of Kyler Murray. And I think Kyler Murray is a better pure passer, and he's in an offense that's that's just looking to sling the ball around. So you're getting volume. So as long as Cliff Kingsbury gets another year, so if Arizona gives him a second year, then yeah, you're going to get really high end volume out of Kyler Murray. And I love that. I'm all over that. So yeah, for me, he's four.
Gotcha. And rounding out the I'll just do like the top five quarterbacks: Russell Wilson, Pat Mahomes, really close, a couple of stinkers in a row relative to what he's able to do. Deshaun Watson, a very close third again, and then Lamar Jackson, who's fallen down a couple spots in the last couple of weeks, and then Dak Prescott rounding out your top five.
Yeah, I like Dak. I like Dak too. I just don't have him. I don't have him. I would put Dak behind Lamar Jackson. Now, you're getting to the point where Lamar Jackson as a mid QB1 becomes a good enough like risk reward play long term. And the injuries haven't been an issue, but the way he plays the game, it's just terrifying. Like even Kyler Murray is like that too, but Kyler Murray seems to do a better job of protecting himself from big hits.
Yeah, he looks more like a runner when he takes off. I don't know how to explain it.
Yeah, he's just a little, I think he's a little more savvy with the ball in his hands.
Yep.
So, and if you look at the top quarterbacks right now, I mean, the funny thing is they're all black, which is awesome to see. Like 10 years ago, you were fate, like, oh, you know, when Cam Newton was the hype, it's like, oh, you know, black QBs don't win games and they don't do this. But if you look at the top six dynasty quarterbacks for me, they're all black, right? I mean, are the top six pretty solid for you too? Is Dak in your top six?
You already know the answer to that.
Yeah, that's true. So like, is Wentz in your top six?
No, he Wentz away a little bit.
Yeah, so it's Mahomes, it's Wilson, it's Watson. I mean, Baker is in top six for a lot of people. He's not in there for me.
No, he's really fallen now.
So, I mean, I think so it's pretty cool. I didn't even think of that till now.
I'd be torn between Kyler and Wentz. That's kind of where my line is.
Yeah, for Wentz, like, I get it with Wentz. I don't see the ceiling from Wentz right now. Like, even in that year, we had a huge breakout season. It was more a lot of just heavy touchdown volume. Like, you knew that touchdown rate was going to come down. He just doesn't put up the volume in terms of yards. Like, he's not putting up 350 yards and three touchdown games. Like, if he was airing it out like Matt Ryan and he was putting up 303, yeah, now we're talking.
Well, he did that in week one when he faced like a reasonably bad pass defense, and he's played against two top three defenses since then.
Top what are his matchups? Defense.
So he played the Redskins in week one. He put up 313 and three, no picks. And then he played the Falcons in week two, who are currently ranked as the number one pass defense in the whole league. He did 231-1 with two picks. Oh, so this would be without week five stats, I would assume, then. This is MFL's stats through 4 weeks. So then the Lions in week three at 22 overall against the pass, and then Packers in week four, number three against the pass. And I think they're the real deal. They've put a lot of pressure on passers, even though Dak hung practically 500 yards on them this week.
Yeah, I mean, that's fair. I would say that if you're getting, here's the thing with the other guys, with Mahomes, with Wilson, with Watson, with Kyler, with Lamar, with Dak, you're getting some semblance of a rushing floor.
Right.
At worst, with Wentz, you're not getting that. So you need these good matchups for him to succeed, it seems.
Yeah.
And if you're not getting a top 15 matchup or bottom 15 pass defense, you're not going to get high-end QB1 performances. So I'm selling that idea then. Like, yeah, I'd rather have these other guys pretty easily. And with Kyler, it doesn't matter who they're playing. The volume there is going to give him fantasy points. And he's got a ridiculously good floor with the rushing.
Speaking of a ridiculously good floor with rushing, our next position obviously is running back. And it's no surprise to anybody that Christian McCaffrey is leading the way, and it's in an emphatic fashion. This is historic, right? I think we just saw some tweets from ESPN saying that he's got more yards from scrimmage than any other player since like the 60s, right? It's just wild. He's got 587 yards rushing, 279 yards receiving to go with 7 touchdowns through 5 weeks, 159 fantasy points, gapping the number two by 30. And once again, I won't give you as much money as the other positions because it's not as surprising, but
Nick Chubb.
For $2 million, who is the running back to win the season? And I'll give you a hint. It is not Nick Chubb.
I love it. It should be Nick Chubb.
Nick Chubb's number nine. Number nine.
Who is number two? Austin Eckler.
Correct. Ding, 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 ding.
It has to be. He's been.
It is.
He's been a beast. He had 15 receptions this week, right?
Yes. I think he had like 38 targets. What seemed like every one of Phillip Rivers' throws went to Austin Eckler.
Dude, Phillip Rivers looks even worse throwing the football nowadays. Like, he's barely getting, it just looks like an old man trying to throw a football.
Well, for a while, like, his form was kind of like a diagonal arm. And then the older he gets, the lower the ball, the lower the releases. Now it's like sidearm. Now it's kind of like a, now it's like the almost like the underarm little flip, almost like Uncle Rico, right? He's Uncle Rico form.
It honestly legitimately looks like Uncle Rico now. Like, and he doesn't have any like torque. So it's like a quarter flick. He just flicks it.
Do you think he stands at home with a camera on a tripod and practices his form in video fashion?
He's got too many kids. He doesn't have time for that.
That's very, very true. By the way, I am totally dressing as Uncle Rico for Halloween this year. It's going to be awesome. And I'm going to carry around a tripod and a football. Or, I mean, perfect. People might mistake me for Gardner Minshew, though.
That's perfect.
So Christian McCaffrey, number one, way out in front. And this is something that kind of spawned some conversation with us pre-podcast. We were talking about, like, he should be clearly the Dynasty 101 or, like, the running back one in Dynasty, at least, depending on the format, right?
I mean, I think, did you ever imagine a scenario when Barkley was tearing it up last year that in the foreseeable future, there would be somebody higher than Saquon Barkley?
No, not a chance. Zero chance. Like, especially with the prices that he was returning.
So, I mean, now we're 5 weeks into his second season. And we're already crowning Christian McCaffrey as greater. So the way I look at this is you're getting Saquon as the 102 right now in terms of value.
Mm.
I don't see how there's any way you can pass that up regardless of how good Christian McCaffrey has been.
And I don't think that it has to do with Saquon losing any value. It's just that Christian McCaffrey has jumped up that much.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Like, I have a hard time not cashing that out.
Yeah. You mean McCaffrey?
Yeah. If I can get Saquon Barkley for McCaffrey, I have a hard time not cashing that out.
Yeah, right.
Now I get it. If you're a contender this year, sure. I mean, even Barkley's coming back and he's still going to be a beast. He might not be McCaffrey level. But he's a stud. Like, the guy, I mean, Saquon is the real deal. Like, we have an opportunity to be buying Saquon, and you're able to get a one-for-one flip.
Well, so let's do real talk here, okay?
Okay.
Man to man. We're in a high-stakes dynasty league through Scout /
With Drake Jordan?
Full-time fantasy. Yeah, right, Drake Jordan. Full-time fantasy. Yeah, exactly. We're a high-stakes champ two times. And we've got a contending team where it's just blazing every single week. We've got 200 plus points each week, it seems like, since the first week. We have Christian McCaffrey on our team, and there's another team that has Saquon Barkley. If that person offered you Saquon straight up for McCaffrey, maybe like a second or something, what do you think the difference in value is? You would snap accept that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Wow. So you'd probably technically value Saquon more, or you're just interested in cashing out.
Christian McCaffrey's sick AF. Like, he's ridiculous. But Saquon is another level of ridiculous. And we're not getting that because he was hurt. But, like,
I mean, I guess, can't they both be that level of ridiculous? Because Christian is showing that level of ridiculous also.
Probably. I mean, it might. And listen, you know how much I like Christian McCaffrey, and you know how much I've always loved Christian McCaffrey. Dude, it's so, like, I'm looking at this and saying, like, I'm getting the opportunity to get Saquon Barkley for an individual player in Dynasty. Like, Saquon is,
yeah,
they both might be transcendent And this might be a situation where we're looking at like the LaDainian Tomlinson Priest Holmes, where they're both just freaks, right? And I get Priest Holmes shelf life was pretty light, but back in the day when it was LaDainian and Priest and it was ridiculous production. But I feel like Saquon is LaDainian 2.0 in terms of fantasy production moving forward. I'm taking that.
Mm-hmm. Okay, last question. I know everybody is thinking this, so I'm just going to ask it. What if Christian McCaffrey were black? I know we've talked about it on the podcast before, actually around the draft time. If Christian were black, would he be your choice for one-on-one easily?
And it sounds ridiculous, but it's true. I mean, like, would it change my opinion? Probably.
You'd have to have a sweet name, too, like Saquon Barkley, right?
Even if it was Christian McCaffrey and he was black, it's still a cool name. I don't know. I think there is probably some subconscious thought here with saying like, okay, like Christian McCaffrey is my whole beef with Christian McCaffrey is in his rookie year, they were purposely avoiding giving him the ball on running downs, and they're exclusively using him as a receiver.
Right. Yep.
That to me is a concern. And before the season, Ron Rivera was talking about decreasing his workload this year. So to me, I still worry that at some point in time, whether it's this, I mean, not this year because they don't have anybody, but next year, do they add somebody to take away from Christian McCaffrey's workload?
Somebody.
And if they do, and even if it's an 80-20 split, or a 70-30 split from running the ball, that's a huge decrease in potential yards gained and explosive play potential, where Barkley is never going to have a situation where he's not playing at least 90% of the snaps.
Somebody that can share the load, somebody.
There you go. So like that to me is an underrated aspect of this whole debate is we're just assuming Christian McCaffrey is going to get 95% of the snaps. And I don't know if that's necessarily true based on how they treated him in his rookie season and all this coach speak that's happened preseason in terms of reducing his workload.
Yeah.
And right now we're dealing with Cam Newton being out. So they're putting more emphasis on Christian McCaffrey and they're giving him more opportunity in the red zone. And when Cam Newton's around and he's healthy and his foot's not bothering him, the touchdown premium for Christian McCaffrey is going to go down. So like you're getting like this perfect storm right now of Christian McCaffrey just exploding and you're getting the opportunity to get Saquon Barkley. I think you have to do it.
So, okay. I mean, let's put our money where our mouth is.
Look at
this way.
I'm
going to open up Scout and we're going to offer it.
Look at it this way, Hurley. You will never regret trading Christian McCaffrey for Saquon Barkley. I don't foresee a situation. I might be wrong, but odds are you won't, 4 years down the road, you won't say, damn it. Like, I got Saquon Barkley for Christian McCaffrey. That sucks. But
should we offer it straight up?
I can't. No, not straight up. I think you can try to get something more. But yeah, I mean, if it ends up being straight up, then sure. We'll figure out what to offer here off air because it is a high-stakes dynasty league, so it's important.
and we're 2x champs.
But I can foresee a situation where in 4 years, you're saying, God dang it, how did I not? You know, why did I give Saquon Barkley to receive Christian McCaffrey? I can see that being the case based on potential workloads moving forward.
I agree. Very
good.
So, give
me Saquon over Christian still. They're both elite. If you can get them both, fantastic. You can't, but great. And I would just prefer Saquon slightly ahead of Christian McCaffrey. Neither is a bad option. We're splitting hairs.
There you go. And that was this week's King of the Hill, and that means it's time for Dynasty Trade Wars. Jonathan Mojo, the producer, is going to run this, but before he starts to run it, he's going to cue up some Star Wars music, because that's just what we do. You know, I like the Star Wars theme thing here, so. Before I get into it, I'm going to get out a pen and paper so I can write down all these trades so I can get myself a slight edge advantage on Izzy by looking at the trade. But how this goes is our producer, John Mosier, is going to read off a trade poll from Twitter, and it's up to Izzy and I to decide which side of the trade that we think the poll is going to win. Not necessarily which side we like, but which side we think is winning or has won. A lot of times he likes to throw in some tricks in there, some curveballs. The person with the most correct guesses at the end of the five questions, wins the round, wins the night. And usually there's a, is there a 2-point question this week, Mosher?
Maybe. The two-pointers are 50-50 balls.
The 50-50, that's right.
Mm-hmm, and hey, we might have a 50-50.
Hey, Mo.
Yeah?
Saquon or McCaffrey?
Saquon.
Saquon or Mariota?
Mariota.
Hey, real question. Mariota or Josh Rosen, Mo?
Mariota. Interesting. I like Josh Rosen, though.
Okay.
You still those are, I like those, too.
Yeah.
Mariota or Trubisky?
Mariota.
Mariota or Derek Carr?
Mariota. You're getting easier. Get harder.
I don't necessarily... I think they're all in the same...
Yeah, definitely not Carr. Carr's not long for this starting gig. And Mariota, too. He keeps doing the flip-flopping business, which he can't do in this league either. So we'll see, man.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, there you go, Jax.
Okay. All right, well, we got a good set this time. It is 5 questions. So let's just get to it. We have, for context, nothing. So what side would you rather have? It's a
perfect.
A 2-1. Uh-huh. Would you rather have Michael Thomas by himself or Tyler Lockett in an early 2021st?
When was it? When was the
I'm first?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, these are probably all within the last 24 hours, I'm assuming, right?
They're recent, but some are further back than that. This one's October 3rd.
Okay.
I could see this going either way. I'm not going to give a ton of context until after Izzy answers strategically, but I'm going to go with the Michael Thomas side.
Perfect, because I want the Lockett in the first side.
Yeah!
And I think it's going to be pretty easy, Lockett in first side. I'm going to say 56% for the Lockett in the first side. Lock it in.
Get it? Yeah, lock it in. I was going to say that Lockett's got some recent hype, but I just don't think an early first is enough to close the gap. I think that I could see that going that way, but Michael Thomas has just got too much high-end value to make that worth it.
Yeah. Okay. Well, split decision.
People love Lockett.
They do, and this is before this last week, I
correct.
Think.
Correct. So, like, Michael Thomas didn't blow up.
Right. Yeah, didn't blow up, but neither, I think Lockett had another steady week, too.
Yeah.
Okay, so... Results after 264 votes, it is the Lockett and early 2021st side.
Tell me it's 56%.
It is actually 56%.
Look at that. Look at
you didn't
that.
See that one, did you not?
No,
see
I
that
swear
one?
I didn't.
All right, I believe you. All right,
I don't.
56. Lock it in. Nose.
Damn it.
Frog, right. frog sipping the teacup.
Yeah, he's coming in hot. Jeez. All right, number two. Context is it's a 12-team Superflex PPR. And it's another 2-1. On one side by himself, Sony Michel. On the other side, Rojo and a 2020 second.
When was this done?
September 30th.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, that's a week ago.
Today's the 7th. So that would have been when Rojo had a decent game, I guess.
It would have been Sunday.
Tough. I'm going to say Rojo in a second because people hate Sony Michel.
Okay.
Yeah, I could see this being really close. I was hoping Izzy went Sony, but back then I know that Sony probably would have gone for like an early second, late first, right? So like Rojo's probably got like late second value, seconds
you
for
think
Sony.
That, you think that low for Sony? You don't? Yeah, I guess. Early second.
Maybe. It was like that on Twitter in some polls. Like Sony was just being disrespected. So
Sony trash, dog. Get
Sony
a Panasonic.
Trash. Yeah, not receive. he's got Sony guts though.
Yeah, Sony.
Yeah, I'm gonna go Rojo in a second. Also,
okay, two for Rojo side.
Yeah.
All right. After 119 votes, it's actually Sony Michel.
Wow. Damn it.
Yeah, 55%.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Not
and
good.
This was. I think you were looking for, well, was this after Rojo kind of broke out a little bit the week before?
Yeah, Sony did too, though.
Yeah.
I'd rather have the Rojo side. I mean, I've always been anti-Sony.
Mm-hmm. Well, I like the pick too. I mean, 2020 seconds, nothing to sneeze at.
No.
Okay, cool. So both wrong on that one. So still 1-0, Izzy. Number three, context.
Number three.
14 team PPR Superflex. And it's a 1-to-1. On one side, Tyler Boyd. On the other, a 2020 first they projected as a mid.
Jeez. When was the poll?
Wow.
October 5th.
I'm going to go, oh, October 5th. Okay, let me see. Okay, I'm going to go 2020 first.
I will go with that side as well.
Both on the first.
He was coming off a little bit of a clunker. People love the 2020 first. Boyd, I think, is perennially disrespected. He broke out late. He doesn't he doesn't have the sexy profile. I think people hop on that 2020 first. Not enough Boyd lovers, so.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to say 57%.
All the stuff that Izzy said, plus the fact that a 14-team super flex, if you're not in one, it's a heavy emphasis on quarterbacks. There will be probably two quarterbacks in the top five picks, right, Izzy, out of the running backs?
We'll see. I mean, maybe top seven. Two for sure. I mean, somebody else has to kind of show up. I think
in a 14, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, in a 14, I think there's for sure one and maybe two in the top five. So like that mid pick could be pushed up a little bit. So I like the pick.
Yeah. No, that's good reasoning.
And I hope Twitter. Yeah. Then again, you know, Twitter doesn't know Superflex though, right?
Yeah, but I still think. I don't think people care. I think they just see 2020 first in a marginally good. I mean, not like he's a wide receiver two, high end wide receiver two, but that's not enough for people to get hard. Let's put it that way.
All right, we're on the 2020 first, Bob.
Okay. After 184 votes, it is the 2020 first side. Good job.
Is it 57%?
Hey.
It is 59%.
Ah, close.
Oh, okay. You idiot!
Loser.
You lose points for that.
A loser.
Yeah, it's like calling your shot in basketball, right?
Yep, you can't do that. Yep. You didn't do a swish.
No swish.
Okay, so that's 2-to-1, I believe, right?
Yep.
Okay, Izzy's winning. Number four. We have, for context, standard. Okay.
Worst. The worst.
It's standard, guys. It's all picks versus one guy. You ready? It's Melvin Gordon or... A 2020 first, 2021 first, or a 2022 second.
What?
So two firsts and a second.
Got it. Is it, whose turn is it? Izzy's.
Oh, okay. I'm taking the package of picks. And when was this poll done?
October 7th.
Yeah, package of picks. Melvin Gordon still behind Eckler. Yeah, I'm going to say... comfortably the package of picks.
Cool. Standard. I got to try to decide if I want to make my move on question four or question five because I'm down a point.
You have to take the 50-50 bomb because it's the best shot of it being.
Now, he didn't sound too confident that he had one in there, so I'm not going to take the risk. And
if I could go back in time, I would take the 50-50 bomb.
I got to play the odds here.
Okay.
I'm going to take the Melvin side on this one. And a lot of it's just because the 2021 first, it's like, man, that's a long ways out. And then 2022 second is almost like just like peanuts being thrown in to the circus ring at an elephant. So I'm going to go Melvin, Bob.
All right, split. After only 50 votes, but I think we could still use it. We have... the pick side winning this one with 58%.
No, we have 50 votes. We have to throw it out.
No, we do. So 58% on that side.
Let's go. Fickle breed, I'm telling you. Melvin Gordon has a bet. I mean, Eckler just showing out. People are okay, Melvin Gordon lost his job. He's trash. Picks, yep.
Yeah.
He's a running back too. Can't really fault that thought.
Yeah. It's only one 2021st. That's the only thing that kind of got me is like, really? Okay.
All right. Well, we're ready for the 3-point question.
Here it comes. Context. It's a dynasty PPR, guys.
Okay. Perfect.
It's
not keeper. Dynasty.
Okay. This is the most complicated one. So you might want to write these down.
No.
Okay.
I write them all down.
Izzy won't do it. Izzy's the waiter at the restaurant who just won't write down your order.
Yep. And like, he f***s up every order.
You said non-sweet tea. Sorry.
Oh,
take your sweet tea.
So do you want to just keep it or should I get you a new one? And then you ask for a new one and get upset.
I said non-sweet tea and you brought me a beer.
Okay. All right. So here we go. T.Y. Hilton and Michael Gallup or Sony Michelle, Paris Campbell, and a 2021 first.
I didn't write it down. Can you repeat it?
Yeah, I knew it.
It's a beer and an unsweetened tea.
Yeah. When was this poll done?
Yesterday.
Yesterday.
All the dreams is so far away. Now it's
I need to see that movie, by the way.
Izzy's doing like some ventriloquism singing. This is impressive. unless your camera froze, which would be a really tricky trick.
That was me trying to do that.
I believe.
I'm gonna say the Gallup side.
Please give me the 50-50 bomb. Boom.
Ooh. To take, what is that, to tie, right? If you
that's the
get
tie,
this right.
Yeah, he has to. He has no choice. Yeah. I should have done the 50-50 bomb just to play defense.
So here we go. Izzy wins. T.Y. Hilton, Michael Gallup, 53%.
Let's go.
Oh, there's no.
Man, that was
bomb.
utter domination this week, Hurley. Utter domination.
Oh. Are you have
borderline,
utters? Is that what you're trying to say?
Dominatrix.
You're a dominatrix with udders? Man, this is just getting worse for you.
Udders.
This is nightmare fuel for
otters,
me, actually.
I dominate honors.
You have honors?
Udders. I'm in the Hilton Honors Club.
Okay. You know, sometimes you got to just step aside and let the guy who normally loses have his moment.
It's, I'm an in-season Twitter machine. Look at me go.
Yeah, look at that.
You're just maybe you're just rusty.
No, it's I got down early. It's like a pitcher in the pitch count. I got down early and I started getting desperate to try to get back. You know, I did some things I normally wouldn't have.
Yes,
had I not been in the situation. So it is what it is.
Yep, you played this week like Baker Mayfield, down 7 points.
Exactly. Mojer, thanks for running Dynasty Trade Wars. Any final words of wisdom for us?
Final words.
Mo, what do you think of Baker Mayfield?
I'm off the train. I think I bought into the hype. I think I had the Browns as one of two AFC champions. You can guess the other team.
So you really bought into the hype. Yeah.
I just really didn't think he could, you know, do this mediocre with the talent around him. That's all.
What about your boy Jimmy G? Are you still a big fan, or have you fallen off that wagon?
I think he'll be serviceable. I think he'll probably be average.
Oh, here's a good question: Jimmy G or Mariota?
Mm. Rest of career.
Yeah.
Jimmy's got the safety out of the two of them for the contract, so I think I got to go Jimmy. But talent wise. I can't believe Mariota hasn't put it together, on a consistent basis yet. So this could be the beginning of the end. We'll see.
God, there is so, if you guys really think about it, there are so many blah quarterbacks right now where you wish you didn't have them, or you wish you would have traded them up to get one of these top 6-7 guys.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's a clear top 6-7. And then a huge drop off, and then probably another group of a handful, and then another big drop off.
Yeah, it's going to be a bunch of short leashes. Yeah, I'd at the very least like to reshuffle the deck with a lot of these guys. You know, not necessarily throw them out with the bathwater, but see what they can do somewhere else.
I love bathwater.
No, no. Some of these guys could be definitely good bridge quarterbacks to something else.
Bridge.
Speaking of Bridgewater,
like Teddy Bridgewater. Yep.
Yeah.
Teddy Bridge Bathwater. That's what we're trying to get at.
Do you guys think Teddy Bridgewater is a starting quarterback?
Yes.
No. I said that, you know, when he was traded in New Orleans.
When he has Michael Thomas on the other side of his throws, he is.
Did Mo say no? Mo no? No Mo?
I'm not on board, Teddy.
Nomo? Uh-uh.
I think he's a fantastic backup, and he will
be. What about you?
For a while.
Yes, I think with Teddy, it's a confidence thing. Like I thought he was a starting quarterback when he was with Minnesota before.
Yeah, before he was ascending. Knee.
So, like, I think for him, it was coming back from the knee injury, gaining your confidence. When you tear your knee that bad, I'm sure it's always in the back of your mind, like, worried about it. And now he finally looked comfortable, and he wasn't throwing the ball 2 yards down the field every play.
Mm, yeah.
So this might be just him taking that next level of saying, okay, it's just like riding a bike. It's how I used to do it. And this might have been the game for him.
Yeah, I think so too. Could be a good buy if you find a team that doesn't believe in him.
Here's the thing, I really like him. Like I want him to succeed. So this is me more hoping that he becomes a successful quarterback.
That's true. He's a really likable dude too, you know. That definitely is a variable.
Yeah.
So there you go. That's the Izzy's and Mosier's final thoughts. It turned into quarterback city a little bit, but that's cool, right? So
yeah, whatever.
That's all we got for this week's podcast. A big thank you to our sponsors. Enter your name here. And thank you for your $7 million that you just sent us to Izzy at PayPal.com. What?
Let's give somebody a free sponsorship. What's your favorite thing to eat or drink, or what is it right now? When we were in Vegas, you got this. You insisted that we got every morning. What was it?
Oh, the V8 energy juice.
There we go. This show sponsored by the V8 energy juice.
It ain't my fault that I crush those cans in two, sucking down the V like Zeus, gotta blame it on my juice, baby. It ain't my fault that I love tomato juice, gets my ass off of the snooze, gotta blame it on my juice. Yeah, yeah, V. Yeah, yeah, it. Yeah, yeah, it. Yeah, yeah, blame it on the juice, blame it on the juice. Yeah, yeah, V. Yeah, yeah, it. Yeah, yeah, it.
This show is brought to you by V8 Energy Juice. Wake up and get your energy on.
Stupid.
All right, we're definitely tagging them when we distribute this week.
Perfect.
I will do that, and I will retweet it from my Twitter account with over 3,800 followers.
Nice. It's a lot of juice.
So it is a lot of juice. You like it, the juice?
You like it? You like it, the juice?
I love that. Thank you for listening, everybody. We'll talk to you next week. Bye.
I'm not taking the L. You're taking the L.